Well, I appreciate you guys having me back here. I don't know how much you had to say in that, but I'm glad that I'm back here. I was talking to my wife a couple of months after I was done. Who was here last year? I really enjoyed this, so much so that when I left here, I found myself wanting to be back here. But look, man, the ministry took care of that quick, and then I was knee-deep in the ministry. But I was telling my wife how much I enjoyed it, and even just probably 3 or 4 months ago, I was talking with her, and I said, I might just fly down there, man, just to be a part of the conference and hang around them, because we're a growing ministry up there, but I can't say I don't have fellowship. I do have fellowship, but it's not like this. If I was your pastor, I'd be really happy about the turnout. I don't know how many are here, and maybe there could be more here. I don't know all of that, but I know this. This is a good turnout. And he mentioned that worship is something that you should actively do. We're going to actively worship. So if you actively worship this evening, you take notes, you give some verbal feedback, you do all those types of things. Nonverbal feedback. But you participate, amen? We're going to participate. So part of it, I'm going to make you participate. And you're going to see where we're going. We just sang through like 4 songs filled with doctrine. Did you read all that stuff? You could just take one of the songs and preach it for 45, 50 minutes, right? Just, I love going through songs, and my mind is just hitting pages of scripture. That's good stuff. That is just good stuff. So your songs are right. Where's Jonathan? That was awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. And praise God for the gift that he gave to Jonathan, right? It's the gift. At some point, man, I just want our music program to be there. But we're getting there. Praise God for what he's doing. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. I remember a lot of things from last year's conference. One thing that I remember, I had the opportunity to preach 2 iterations. And the first iteration after I preached, it was like 35 minutes long. And then Sean said, Rob, preach longer. These guys were used to 50 minutes. So listen to me, guys. After I'm up here for 1 hour and 20 minutes, the first tomato's thrown at him. Amen? Not at me.
Yes.
All right, so Romans 14, are you there? That's where we're going to start. But I want to give you some things about me real quick. And I want to give you just a quick report on what's going on in Niagara Falls, New York. And God's moving up there in so many different levels. It's just good to see it. All the credit that goes on in the ministry. First, I'm going to praise the Lord for a couple of different things. And I start our Sunday school off with this. I'm going to do it here. What do you all have to praise the Lord about? Somebody slip your hand up and tell me one thing that you praise the Lord about. One thing.
I praise the Lord. He sent us Pastor Bill.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praising the Lord for an under-shepherd that just came to the church 3 or 4 months ago.
Amen.
Praise God for that. God sovereignly does those things. Yeah. In the back.
All right.
Forgiving a good family. Man, that's good. Okay, that's a young man in the back, probably a teenager, knows enough of there are families that aren't so good. He's praising the Lord that he's in a good one.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good, isn't it? What else?
For Berean Baptist Academy, that is being that amazing extra force on our children every day.
Amen.
Teaching them everything godly in every class.
Amen. So he's praising the Lord for the academy where they're getting extra doses of theology.
Amen.
And then working out their Christianity. Who else has their hand up?
Praise God for a godly wife.
Amen. I do the same, brother. Man, she fills so many voids in my life, but she's not my Christ. She is not my Christ. We get things turned upside down when we place and levy those types of demands on our spouses. But praise God for a godly spouse. Anybody else have their hand up?
I'm thankful that my son's here. I didn't think I was going to have any sons here this year.
Amen. And then you've got a son-in-law. I met him. I talked with him for a while.
My son-in-law.
He's not your son-in-law. No, he's not my son-in-law. We just moved into prayer request. Okay. Yeah, praise God. Praise God, John.
You got
a bunch of boys, I think, is what I remember. About 4 of them, don't you?
He's got all kinds of kids.
He's got all kinds of kids. Okay. Hey, I praise the Lord that I didn't do anything to earn pastorship. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I just praise the Lord that he uses men that are struggling with sin to pastor churches. So that's the first thing that you need to know about me. We all have that in common. I have struggles, and perhaps somebody out here is struggling with what I'm struggling with. And it would be an awesome place if we could just be as transparent and real as possible and just say it, wouldn't it?
Come on.
Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're not. We have a men's prayer breakfast once a month up north, and we get together and eat, and we're breaking down some barriers in places. I won't say much, but just some things are being said. So this is what I want you to know is I don't have it all together, but I know the one that does, and I'm leaning on the grace that he provides.
Amen.
And the forgiveness and the mercy and all of those buzzwords that we use to describe his attributes. And then I don't know everything that's contained in these 1,189 chapters. I know some things, and I also know this. There are some unbelievable, extraordinary, I wrote some things down, okay? Some things in the Bible, in these 1,189 chapters. Things that are quite unknowable. You hit some passages, and I just don't know about this. Seemingly unbelievable. Like what? Like a donkey talked. And had a reasonable discussion with his master. Right? It's seemingly unbelievable, otherwise unprovable and utterly unexplainable, except for faith. Right? So what do you believe by faith? This is where you help me. By faith, I'm going to start it. I'll give you an example. By faith, I believe that the same Holy Spirit that conceived God the Son through the Virgin Mary is the same Holy Spirit that worked in me as I was developing the outline for this message. And he's the same Holy Spirit that's in you.
Amen.
I believe that by faith.
Amen.
What do you believe by faith?
I believe by faith that God spoke the universe into existence.
Amen.
Yes.
He believes by faith. That's where it begins, doesn't it?
Yeah.
1:1, in the beginning, God. And then he just said, and even beyond what Sean just said, an invisible God,
Amen.
Not embodied,
Amen.
A spirit, spoke everything into existence. You believe that?
Yeah.
What else do you believe by faith? When you believe that, you should be able to believe everything.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I can believe a donkey talks, man. If I believe that, that is so unbelievable. When I get past that, I am good. What else? Come on.
He raised Christ from the dead.
I believe that by faith, brother. He raised Christ from the dead. That seems pretty unbelievable. Dead 3 days, and the Holy Spirit, God. Who? Both.
All
of them. Don't raise him from the dead, okay? What else?
Believe he's coming again.
Amen.
Right.
He believes he's coming again, and it changed his life so much, so we're going to talk about that tonight. That seems pretty unbelievable and unexplainable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he did it.
Amen.
How about this? Who's military in here? I see your hand, Brian. Who's military in here? I believe that God spoke to Joshua and told him to walk around the city for 6 days, one day, or one time per day. And then on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times, then have the priest blow the trumpets, and then shout, the walls are going to fall down.
Yes.
I believe that. Don't you?
Yes.
By faith?
By faith.
Can you imagine what would happen today if that happened? We'd win in Afghanistan. Your hand was up.
I believe that by faith, God has always been able to protect and preserve his people regardless
Amen.
Of what government is in charge.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
And no matter what comes along, right?
Amen.
He's always been able and will always be able to protect his people.
Amen.
We see it time and time again through the Old Testament, don't we? So where am I going? Last hand. Go ahead.
I believe that we will also be resurrected.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he was the first fruits.
Yeah.
We have him as an example. Why am I going with this? Because you'll see as I tie in. Look down at Romans 14. And I just want to read these three verses. And then we're going to be all over the Bible tonight. And I know you're okay with that because I know you're a pastor. Look down at Romans 14:10. He says, "For why dost thou judge?" Who wrote Romans anyway?
Paul
saying, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? It's a good thing we don't pull verses out of context and use them the way that we want to.
Yeah.
For we shall all stand before what?
Judgment
seat of Christ. You know what I believe, guys, by faith? I believe that we will all stand if we call ourselves believers in Christ. I believe by faith that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, that tree over there is going to die, and I believe that that tree is not going to have any life after it dies. But I believe that me, when I die, I'm not dead. And part of what is going to happen after I leave this earth is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's all I want to say about that. So, listen to me for a moment, okay? I'm going to tie some scripture together. Follow me. Hopefully, you'll connect. In Acts, Paul is talking to Felix. Go in the Rolodex of Scripture into your minds. Go back to Acts chapter 24. Paul's before Felix. And Paul has the opportunity to just speak to Felix and say anything that he wants to say. And Paul says something. Do you remember loosely what Paul says? He preached three things unto Felix. Do you remember what they are by chance? That's one of them. What else?
Temperance.
What's temperance? Self-control. And then what else? Judgment, I heard. Righteousness. So Paul had the opportunity to say anything he wanted to this man. He's talked to him about righteousness, self-control, and a judgment to come. We could stay there for a while, couldn't we? We could stay there for a while and talk about how absolutely critical it is for us as believers to work out our righteousness. Yeah. An outward working of what's in us. I'm not talking about works-based salvation. And then we would do well as men in here to practice self-control.
Amen.
Yeah, in what areas? Somebody break down a wall. What areas?
Anger, for starters, pornography.
Pornography. There's a wall, man. We just busted a big one down. It's huge in the church. It's huge. We would do well to practice self-control. I'm not preaching about self-control. What am I preaching about? Judgment. Paul said this is such a serious issue that he spoke to Felix about a judgment to come. A judgment to come. We're going to get into it in a moment. Bear with me for this intro. God has a day fixed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. I do.
Yes. Yeah.
However I want to envision in my mind, God's got a calendar, if you will, one of those big calendars, takes up heaven, and he's got a red circle around my name on a day.
Right.
And I'm going when he calls me.
Right.
I believe that's how sovereign he is. I was talking with one of the men that came with you, Bill, and I'm glad that he's sovereign and I'm not.
Yes.
You wouldn't want me to be sovereign because I'm unrighteous, but he's sovereign and he's righteous.
Amen.
God had a day fixed when he sent his son into this world. Do you realize that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent for
his son. Yes.
When God deemed that it was that day, he sent him forth.
That's right.
There was an appointed day when God judged the Amorites. You remember that?
Right.
God the prophet talked to Abraham in Genesis, 15 or 16? 15. And he was telling Abraham that, look, you're going to come back to this land after you've been captive in Egypt for several hundred years. And the time is going to be in the fourth generation. He says, but right now the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
That's right.
Wow. You catch the little principle right there, by the way? I don't know. I might have some loose application. But picture a measuring glass. And just picture the Amorite sin being poured into it. There was a time where God said, okay, it's full. I'm done. Grace runneth out. Can we apply that to us as individuals? Perhaps. Think on it. There was an appointed time when Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the book of John, he continuously talks about it was not yet his hour.
Right.
But there was an appointed time. This is how in control God is.
Right.
Don't get uncomfortable with that thought.
Nope.
If anyone is to be in control of this creation, we want it to be our Father.
Amen.
Romans 14:12. There is a fixed day that every one of us, individually, not corporately, individually, are going to give an account to God. Turn to John chapter 5, please. All right, that gets us going. So now I'm going to go to John, and you'll see why we're coming here. You know John chapter 5, you know already. So John chapter 5, just to give you the context, and I'm okay to preach for a while, right, Sean? 15
minutes.
15 minutes from now. Okay, so let me give you the context. Context drives meaning. Context is important. That's why we don't pull things out of context. We can make them mean whatever we want to make them mean. So Jesus heals the man that's been paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, and he does it on what day?
The Sabbath day.
All right, now we already see the rub that's going to happen. You know what's interesting to me quickly? I have to get this point in because it blows me away as I was just reading this passage, making sure I had it straight in my mind. The Pharisees came to the man that had been paralyzed for 38 years, and they said, you're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day.
Right.
You know, yeah. How about, dude, you're walking?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about that? That the equivalent is me looking out on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock and seeing my neighbor who has never walked a day in his life mowing his lawn, and me go out and yell at him and tell him to quit.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. So there's a rub. Look down at verse 17. I've got to navigate quickly. Jesus answered them, and he says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." What does he say? Jesus says, "My Father's working, and I'm working." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, and he is.
Amen.
That's right. He's submissive, right, in duty, in position, but he's equal.
Amen.
Explain that, but by faith. Verse 19, then answered Jesus, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." That's a pretty good little principle right there. See the Father do something and the Son does it. You know what? By extension, we are sons of God. What we see the Son do, let's do it also.
Right. Yes.
Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. What kind of greater works? They're coming. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, or makes them live, even so the Son gives life, or quickens, whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So who's going to be the judge? The Son, because the Father has delegated it to him.
Yes.
Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Even as they honor the Father.
Right.
He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. That refutes Islam.
You're right.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay? We don't worship the same God because they pay not honor to the Son. That's easy, isn't it?
Amen.
Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, say it.
My word.
He that heareth my word, and what? And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. There it is, right there, man. What must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? Right there it is. I have to believe on his word, and the one that sent him, and I'm going to have everlasting life. Bill, again, I spoke with your three friends, and we were talking about what a relief this is that somebody's not counting on my words for their salvation.
Right, man.
Just counting on me to know enough of Scripture to be able to present some semblance of a gospel plan so that they too can believe and extend themselves to heaven.
Amen.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 24, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And what? Shall not come into condemnation. That is key to us.
Right.
So those of us that call ourselves believers, I would rather say disciples, followers, we escape the condemnation that's going to be the second part of the resurrection. Verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I was like that. I was dead.
Yes.
And then I heard the Son. However that worked, man. I don't even know how that worked, other than I heard the gospel plan, and I believed it by faith, and now I know that I'm born again. Okay, I've got life. I was dead, and now I'm alive. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Again, that equality. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. You know what he's going to do when he comes again? He's going to summon those from their graves.
Right.
Us. He's going to summon. His voice is so powerful that the dead in those graves are going to come forth.
Yes.
All right, verse 29, and they shall come forth. Now, wait a second, okay? Now, this is where I wanted to go. They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, but they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Can you look up here for a second? We just read in verse 24 something that is completely different than that.
Right.
We just read in verse 24 that if I hear his word and believe on him, then I have everlasting life. But over here in verse 29, if we're not careful, if we pull this thing out of context, we think, wait, we work ourselves into heaven? No, this is the same group.
Right.
This is the same group of people here. Listen, those that call themselves believers in verse 24 and hear His word and believe on Him have everlasting life. And in verse 29, if they have everlasting life, they're going to have something in their life that they have done good.
Amen.
That's so strange to this 21st century idea of Christianity.
Talk about it.
Isn't it?
Right.
You probably get this all the time. I'm sure you do. You get good preaching if we're in. I know that.
Amen.
You do. That's right. Amen it. And you should let your pastor know that, not to puff him up, but encourage him and tell him to stay in the Word because you need it.
Yes.
You expect it.
Amen.
Right? You need it. Because they're the words of life.
Amen.
This idea that we make any type of decision and then never do anything for Christ, and I'm going to inherit an eternal kingdom, is nonsensical.
Amen.
Right.
It's nonsensical. How do I know that? Turn over to 2 Peter. Let's look at something. 2 Peter. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. Peter's speaking, obviously, and he says, beside this, talking about faith, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, what's your Bible say?
Virtue.
And the virtue, knowledge. And the knowledge, what?
Temperance.
Okay, self-control. That came up again, didn't it? And the temperance or self-control, patience, what is that? Steadfastness, man. Stay steadfast. And the patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity or love, unconditional love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the expectation that this list of however many things are here are abounding in my life. And it's a sign that there's fruit.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
But he that lacketh, now we've got the contrasting statement, but he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. And he forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Who purged us, by the way? Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 1:3. Praise God that he alone by himself purged us of our sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election
sure.
For if you do these things, you'll never fall. What's Peter talking about? He says, man, if you've got faith, there are things that accompany it.
Amen.
Right? It's not just, hey, yeah, I accepted Christ, I got on my knees and I said this prayer because this guy told me to say the prayer, so I said a prayer and now I'm saved. That is just utterly ridiculous, and it's not unbiblical, or it's unbiblical.
Exactly.
Okay, so where are we going? The judgment in John chapter 5 is being done by Jesus, and those that have professed to be believers by the Word, after having the Word applied to their hearts by the Holy Spirit, it's that unseen thing that I believe by faith.
Right.
He said that they're heaven bound, right? They're going to live in eternal glory, and then they're going to have some works that prove that they were saved. Why are we going here? Because we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to move into a text, and we're going to look at some works, and I'm going to need your help for some application. All right, so now move over to 2 Corinthians. We had John 5, and we're looking at the resurrection of those that had good works to life, those that didn't to death. Now we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody doing okay so far?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of scripture, right? Almost like it was by design, huh?
Right?
Just preach the Word.
Amen.
All right, 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look down at 1 through 10. I'm going to navigate our way through. For Paul speaking, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, what's he talking about? Our bodies, were dissolved, we got a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we've got the earthly body, and then we've got another body that's coming, right? The resurrected body. It's made by God. Man, praise God for that.
Yeah.
Who's about 50 in here? You got any aches and pains?
Oh, yeah.
Man, your hope is coming,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right.
Verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So there's that mixed feeling that we have going on. Man, I want to be in heaven, but I also want to be here. But I want to be in heaven, but I also want to be here. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I cannot wait for that.
Yes.
Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. There's our down payment. Proof that we're saved.
Yes.
Therefore, we are always confident
always.
Knowing that.
Amen.
While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Thought continues, for we walk by what?
Faith.
Presently, in this earthly tabernacle, how are we walking, friends?
Faith.
By faith. I am believing in an inordinate amount of extraordinary things that I cannot explain, and I'm believing them by faith. But in the body to come,
yes.
How are we going to walk?
By sight.
By sight. So he's giving us a nice parallel here. He says, we're confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. What's Paul saying? Man, we simply want to please Him.
Yeah.
From the moment that I accepted Christ as my Savior in 1997 at Fort Bragg, grew up unsaved, man, didn't know anything about God. Nothing. Jesus Christ was a swear word in the town where I came from, in my house even. And I probably used it many times. From that moment that I accepted Christ, my aim ought to be to please Him.
Yes.
With what? All things. All things. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one, singular, may receive the things done in his body, which body? This earthly body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So the idea, again, is that there's going to come a time that we're going to appear before a judgment of Christ, and He's going to determine how good these works were.
Yeah.
All right, move over to 1 Corinthians. Told you we were going to hit some Scripture. Last passage. And then you all are going to help me break down some walls and develop some applications, because I don't know yet. I know some of you. I remember some of you. I was talking with Jeff King and... every once in a while, I bounce around. I don't know how you guys do it, but I'll bounce around and listen to other preachers. And sometimes when I'm listening to Sean or whoever's preaching, I'll hear an amen, and I'm like, I know that was Jeff King. I can hear it. And then I do hear a lady that says amen a lot, too. I don't know who that is, but you probably all do. Right? You do, I'm sure. But I like it. That would encourage me, man, if I were there. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, stop it. Hey, last year I remember Sean preached on grace and truth, remember? A little too much truth going on. Let's move along to grace, amen? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to look down at verse 5. So Paul's addressing the church concerning divisions early on here, and he said basically, who's Paul? Or what is Paul? Or what is Apollos? Who's Apollos? But ministers or servants by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now he's going to give us an illustration. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. But who is anything? God, who gives the increase, right?
Yeah.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. What? The same. They're the same. They're just workers waiting for God to give the increase. We get this analogy. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? That would preach in the 21st century.
Yes.
Rewards according to labor. Rewards according to work. Okay, salary according to work. Work, work, work. All right, so important. You know what I'm glad for right there? I'm glad that it doesn't say. I'm glad Paul didn't slip in at the end. He's going to receive his own reward according to his own successful labor. You know, the success of the church in Niagara Falls doesn't depend on me. It depends on the one that gives the increase.
Right.
I save no man. I simply preach the word, just like you do, right? Verse 9. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry or field, and you're God's building. So he's talking about field, giving us illustrations. Now he's going to talk about a building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And then Paul throws in this incredibly important statement in verse 11. Who's the foundation? It certainly isn't Paul. Praise God for this verse, because we might think that it is, but it's not. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, say it please.
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, right? The crucified one, the anointed one, the Savior. Now if any man build upon this foundation, let's stop for a second. And we're going to get into big doses of application. And if you've fade it out, fade back in. Big doses of application. The thought is that Jesus Christ is the foundation for us, and he is. We do nothing, according to John chapter 15, apart from the Son. If we have any work, it's because we've abided in the vine. So, building on this foundation, we're to add works, we're to add stuff to this foundation.
Right.
Paul gives us two sets of a group of three. All right, look at the first. He said you can add gold, silver, and precious stones, or you can add wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Two groups. We'll go through. Every man's work shall be made manifest. You know what that really is right there? It's show and tell time. Right? Before the king. Show and tell. There's your work. It's all out on the table. There it is. For the day shall declare it. The day. The day of judgment, or the day, Jesus. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide or stays, remains, which he hath built thereupon, he's going to get a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. That's the point. I'm glad that's in there, aren't you?
Yes.
Yet so as by fire. Barely saved. However we want to paraphrase right there, and I'm loose with that text. It's as if a man is running out of a burning house. He barely made it out alive, but he's out of it. But look back at 13 and 14, or 13 in particular. We've got every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Okay? The fire that's being mentioned is the judgment. Now, of the two groups of three, we've got gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Which group is going to last in the judgment of the fire? The first group. It's the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Okay, I just took you to four different passages that talk about the reality of a set day that's coming when Christ is going to judge his people according to their works, and then render a reward. Now, here's the thought that I'm going to give you. We've got gold, silver, and precious stones, and we've got wood, hay, and stubble. I want you to imagine a big butcher block. Right? We know what a butcher block is. We put a line down that thing, and on this side we got wood, hay, and stubble. Or straw. And on this side we've got gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, hay, and the stubble is not going to amount to anything. It's not going to bring any reward. We as believers, us in this tent, we do so many fruitless things that aren't even sin, okay? But we do. We're such time wasters.
Yeah, you're right.
We are. We're just time wasters. And if it doesn't apply to you, then don't get offended. But if it applies to you, then grab hold of it.
Right.
Wood, hay, and stubble. I'm going to take an hour of my day and watch Fox News. Wood, hay, and stubble. It amounts to nothing.
Right.
But you know what I want to do? I want to move things from this column to this column.
Yes, sir.
So instead of spending an hour in front of Fox News, and there's nothing inherently sinful about Fox News, I'm going to take the hour and I'm going to go to Gene. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go to Gene, man. I ate with Gene over here. And he and I were talking about things. I'm going to tell my wife, Kim, I'm going to go visit Gene, and I'm going to see what Gene's up to. And then when I visit Gene, I'm going to say, hey, Gene, what things are you reading these days, man? What are you studying, by chance? What are you studying, Gene? What was that book?
Family worship.
Family worship. Get away from that.
Yeah.
Family worship. So we begin to talk about family worship. And we begin to talk about the Word of God.
Amen.
And instead of taking an hour of wood, hay, and stubble, I went and seen my friend Gene, and if I had to get bold with him and say, dude, why are you not studying something? Or why are you not, or where have you been on Sundays?
Right.
Why does the pastor always have to be that guy? I don't mind being that guy. I got no problem with it. I will hound you until you tell me to stop, and then I'm going to stop. But until then, man, stay in the stuff.
Yes.
Stay in the faith. You know why? Because naturally we're prone to wander.
Yes, right. Yeah.
We're not naturally prone to go toward God.
Right.
We're naturally prone to drift away from Him. So if I got a brother that comes by and is distributing gold, silver, and precious stones, and he's trying to get me back into the assembly, Praise God for him.
Amen.
My wife and I are considering something, and this is just going to be personal. I want to share it with you. And those of you that will say, I'll absolutely pray for you, Rob, I want you to just pray for me. And I'm going to hold you to your task, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, because I want you to make some type of commitment. If you're not going to pray, don't raise your hand. So we get this idea that we're going to support a local ministry in Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is a mess. Who's ever been there? It's a mess, man. It's a mess economically. It's a mess socially. It's a mess spiritually, which is the right place for me. That's where I need to be. This is who God made me. I need to be in that type of place. There was an opportunity. My wife, just through a series of God-led events, had the opportunity to... I'll just tell you the story. Two girls came to our church. One was 8 and the other was 5. And it was because we had a vacation Bible school in 2012 when I first was installed as the pastor. They couldn't come, but they found a flyer. They found it. They couldn't come, but they found it on the street, of all things. And Grandma picked it up, and she called me, and she said, I don't go to church, but I want my granddaughters to come. I have custody of them. Okay, we'll come pick them up. So they've been with us for 4 years, and we've gotten to know them. But the mother isn't in the picture because the mother's involved in prostitution, and she's just incredibly addicted to all kinds of stuff. Sex, drugs. We know that because we need to practice self-control. We have addictions in here.
Right.
So now the mom's pregnant again for like the 4th time. And she's about to give birth, perhaps while I'm down here. Okay, now table that for a second. So now we've got this idea, Kim and I do, that we're going to minister to an organization and help them. They're a pro-life organization in Niagara Falls. They're very solid. So we get another lady that's involved, and she comes down and a great presentation. Please bear with me in this. A great presentation is presented before the church, and we're going to do diaper drives, and we're going to give money, and we're going to go down there and volunteer. We're going to invest. I heard, Bill, you were talking about hands-on investing, man. That's how you really get connected. You don't just write a check and send somebody money, man. Get down there and just get in the roots with them.
Sure.
And you get invested. So we're going to get invested with this pro-life organization. So then my friend Henry, with a wife and 11 kids who recently joined the church, praise God, huh? That increased our attendance 20%. Henry comes up by my request. Henry, give us a challenge about pro-life. Man, we're pro-lifers. So Henry comes up, and Henry says this. He says, you know, we're in Buffalo Bills country, and I know nothing about the Buffalo Bills. I'm just a dumb Canadian imported to the Niagara Falls region. I don't know anything about the Buffalo Bills, but I am a businessman, so I've learned the importance of small talk in Buffalo Bills. And he said, I've learned that if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills, that you have stuff just hanging on your walls, and you wear T-shirts. Right? We do that around here probably. Who wears a T-shirt of their favorite team? We let people know that we're pro-Bills. Right? Yeah, I can look in his office. I can see what he's wearing. He is pro-Bills. So then Henry says, what do you have hanging on your wall that says that you're pro-life? So that thought won't go away with me. And then this opportunity is presented that this baby is about to be born to a mom who's addicted to drugs. So the baby is going to be born into this life with a mess already going on. And she's still prostituting. Does that not speak to the depravity of man? First of all, let's push her aside. What man would have sex with a woman that's about to give birth? A depraved man. Man, don't ever, ever discount the depravity that is in each of us.
Right, sir.
We're all one decision away from just being incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We so need one another.
Yes,
sir. We need to go to one another's homes.
Yes.
We need this. We need your pastor to be in your home to say, hey, what do you guys watch on TV? And you not get offended. We need that stuff, man. We need that level of accountability. But this young lady is about to give birth to a baby. And my wife and I are pondering this thought. See, I'm about to marry off my last one next Sunday. So in my mind, guess what?
Done.
Home free, brother.
Right.
Home free. So why can't I take this baby? Because that destroys my plan.
Right, sir.
I got a plan.
Yeah, right.
But if I say that I'm pro-life, what's hanging on my wall other than my sorry little wood, hay, and stubble words? Because if I say that I'm pro-life, let's get past it. That's wood, hay, and stubble. If I want some gold and silver and precious stones, you know what will happen? Next year I'll come back down here if I'm invited to come back, and I'm going to show you a picture of this little girl that we've got.
Yeah.
That just needs a chance.
Yeah.
Right? I'm really challenged by that. Wood, hay, and stubble. So what is in yours? Okay, I'll just bare my heart with you. Kim and I are on a 12-year plan, man. And now bringing a baby into our fold, that destroys my 12-year plan. Every reason that I begin to rationalize as to why we can't take this baby, it's all selfish.
Yep.
It's me-istic. It's all me-centered. I can't think of one biblical reason why I can't. In fact, I even tried to say it'll cramp my ability to go into homes. Man, the homes that we go into will love on that kid. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, what's in your column of wood, hay, and stubble that needs to be moved over to gold, silver, and precious stones? What's in yours? Somebody say something. I'm not going to develop a laundry list of applications because I don't even know you. What's in your wood, hay, and stubble column that needs to move over to the gold, silver, and precious stone column? Anybody got anything? It's not rhetorical.
Security and income.
Security and income.
Wow.
It's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
It's not a bad thing. So how do we move it into our gold, silver, and precious stones? How do we do it, brother?
I say give my money to somebody who needs it.
Okay. Okay. Instead of saving, I'm in a $150,000 house, but I got plans to move into a $250,000 house. Is that sinful? And perhaps, actually. Perhaps. But if I want to move that out of my wood, hay, and stubble column, let me just start giving it to somebody that really needs it. Let me take the extra $100,000 and just start giving it to people that absolutely need it. Who else has some wood, hay, and stubble that needs to move over into the gold, silver, and precious stones? Should I develop a list? Can you think of anything, Sean?
Wasted time.
Okay, well, remember, let's...
Fox News.
Okay, Fox News.
Wasting time.
Yes. Look, if we're here and we're going to make anything out of this time right now, because I don't know how many other sessions you have, 3 or 4, make a decision. Make a decision to do something. Otherwise, it just becomes... Yeah, I remember the message that dude preached last year. You guys remember that? But if you make a decision, then you come back and you're like, man, look, because his word was preached about wood, hay, and stubble versus gold, silver, and precious stones, I made the decision. I'm done with cable. And now I'm going to start taking all of the time that I invested in cable, and I'm going to do something in the church.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody give me a specific, man. We're not done here. Somebody give me a specific.
Chess.
Something.
Chess.
What about it? Do you spend a lot of time playing chess?
More time than I do in the Bible.
Okay, so you need to take the wood, hay, and stubble. Is it a sin? It is if you're spending more time playing chess than you are with God, right?
Exactly.
And then you need to move it over by doing something with it, Eugene.
Exactly.
What else? I know it's a simple message. I'm a simple guy.
I think musical talents. A lot of people, you know, keep it to themselves, whether it's singing or playing an instrument. They can be in a worship band. You know?
All right, man, let's get into some gifts or some talents. Gifts or talents, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Some of you in this tent, you are absolutely gifted in an area by the Holy Spirit, and you're making the rest of the church suffer because you're not exercising your gift.
Right.
I'm just going to sit over there in a wood, hay, and stubble column and never move over. Somebody in here can do something significant to aid to this ministry. How many of you are really actively involved in Berean? Like really actively involved? You teach, you volunteer, you're always there. You don't have to slip your hands up. But I wonder how many in here are not. I wonder if, and we won't do this, but I wonder if when we're done, I talk with Sean, I'm like, hey man, how many of those guys out there really aren't actively involved in Berean? They just come because it's a nice little getaway, okay, they got some preaching, and then just not actively involved. Anything else from wood, hay, and stubble to gold, silver, and precious stones?
Sleep.
Sleep. Sleep is not a bad thing, but it is. What can you do to impact eternity when you're sleeping, right? We're going to be judged according to every single piece of activity in our lives. And we want to do our best to move it into the gold, silver, and precious stones. Would you bow your heads? Bow your heads just for a moment. Just real quick. I just want to talk to you real quick. Heads are bowed. The Holy Spirit that we spoke about in the beginning, that same Holy Spirit, if He's revealed something to you through His Word, just slip your hand up. You know what? Rob, I got some, there's some hands. I got some wood, hay, and stubble, and it needs to move over. This is my question to you. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give it to Sean. My question to you is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to make a decision? You can put your hands down. Our Christianity started with a decision. Each individual in here made a volitional decision to move their will, their everything, and ground it in Christ. And you're reaping the benefits of it. Why not make one more decision based on the preaching of His Word tonight and reap the benefits of it? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, I thank You for what the Holy Spirit does, what He specifically does, how He comforts and how He pokes and He prods and He reveals and He sheds light upon things. Lord, I'm counting on Your Holy Spirit. You've revealed things in my own life that are wood, hay, and stubble. And Lord, I pray for me personally, with these men as witnesses, that I would endeavor to move that idea of being pro-life in word only over into the column where I'm doing something about it. Lord, I pray for the men that are here, someone in their inward parts, in their hearts, have made a decision. I pray, Lord, that You would just continually give them unctions, that You would poke them and prod them and help them. Lord, we cannot be faithful apart from You helping us. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, that we have it, that reveals things such as these. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.